at KFAI.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, we're all always excited here at Native Roots Radio to be partnering with Little Moments Count and to host these monthly conversations focused on early childhood development and how it's creating bright futures and strong communities. Today with us, again, we have Fawn Youngbear Tibbetts, and we are really happy to have you on, and we got to talk a little bit beforehand, but the things that you're doing are just so exciting, and let's talk a little bit about who you are and then jump into some questions about what's happening now. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for having me again. I really appreciate that. So I am the executive director of Wachoye Nandagi Kinden. We are Minnesota's first urban immersion early childhood program. We teach two languages, Dakota and Ojibwe. So typically when you hear dual language, you think Spanish and English. No, it's Dakota and Ojibwe are the primary languages that we teach in our early childhood program. And our students are 15 months to 5 years old.
Wow, that's cool. And then talk a little bit about yourself. It's like you have an awesome background. First of all, you graduated in Madison, which I love that city. And then also you're a product of Native American teachings here in schooling and your younger years.
Yeah. So my educational background really, I was in dental school first when I got out of high school, but ended up coming to Minneapolis. I was a student at Normandale at the time, and there was a group working on at-risk youth art programs, right? And so I got connected with that group, and we painted a lot of murals that were on Lake Street. We did the park at Cedar and Franklin Avenue. There used to be a gun shop and a liquor store right there by the school. So in the 90s, I've always kind of been around Minneapolis, so my whole family is here. We were in Madison for a while when my mom was in college. She also went to UW-Madison. So I ended up going back there myself. But I actually got there by way of College of Menominee Nation. So I'll give a shout out to our tribal colleges. We had a transfer agreement with the Sustainable Development Program. So I have a college, a degree in sustainable development from College of Menominee Nation. And then went to UW-Madison, the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, and got a degree in life science communications there. That's my undergrad. And then I'm about halfway through a master's. Most of that was in environmental education. I ended up teaching at the Arboretum, teaching teachers for about 15 years.
Wow.
And then ended up in Bad River because we had done this Indigenous Arts and Sciences project. And you know, tribal council said, if you want to do this work, you have to be here. And so I went up to Bad River and I was stationed there for a long time while I was working for the university. But we worked with tribes to develop curriculum that was environmentally hands-on. So we would teach like water quality testing, but also had them connected with natural resources managers from the tribes and historic preservation officers. So like, for example, in Bad River, when the mining stuff was going on, right, we took all those students from the very top of the headwaters of the Bad River at Carolyn Lake and tested the water quality all the way down. They have a good 15 years of water data that they've collected. So if anything does ever happen there, they'll be able to prove right where it's coming into the river. And so really focusing on what were the tribal needs. And so when they posted the job here, it was during COVID, right? All the programs have been shut down at the tribes. And I see this job posting come across, and it's curriculum, it's language, it's working with food and in the garden. And I was like, man, that's my job. They wrote the job for me. And then, you know, Lisa Bellinger and Jewel Arcorn who interviewed me. And then I was like, okay, that's really my job. So I had worked with Jewel, was one of our youth workers on those mural projects. So I've known her since 92. And Lisa, I've known my whole life, pretty much. So I was like, this is perfect. I get to do what I've been trained to do, but for my own community. And then, you know, so I'm hitting my 5-year mark with the organization now. Wow. And when I started writing grants, they created a program director position. Jewel retired. She's done over 10 years of service to this organization in different roles on the board and served as director multiple times, have been brought back. And so, we did a year of transition time in 2023, and Jewel retired in January 1st, 2024. I took over as the executive director. So for the last year, I've been doing this new position.
Hey, you know, let's talk a little bit about the kitchen program, you know, where you prepare meals with focus on culture significance. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, so, you know, originally when I got brought into the organization, part of my job was to contract with someone, right? Gatherings Cafe, the food lab, different caterers and restaurant owners to see if they would provide USDA reimbursable lunches. And, you know, as I was walking around talking with everybody, most of the kitchens didn't want, it's a lot to go through that USDA training for reimbursable meals. And they said, you know, that's not really what we do, right? We're like for-profit restaurants, and we can't wait 60 days for a reimbursement to come through, and or we can't meet the USDA school lunch requirements. And so we have recently opened our kitchen. Our child and adult feeding license application is going in, and we should be ready to serve at the beginning of next year. And not just our program, but for other programs, right? So I was contacted by Center School. They went through 5 caterers last year. Currently, they don't have a food service provider. And so we can take that group of kids on. That's about 45 more students. And so within a 10-mile radius of our kitchen, there are 600 native students.
Wow.
Anabe Academy, Badote, Learning Center, Center School, our program, Baby Space, right? Like all of these native youth serving programs. And so that's kind of our expansion plan, is to target those native serving programs.
Wow.
So it's exciting stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, when we come back, I want to talk about how, you know, introducing, you know, these foods to our relatives, how important that is. And we'll talk a little bit more, but really excited to have you on again, Fawn. Fawn Youngberg, executive director, and we are the Wachaw Ia. Was that right?
Oh, Wechoeye Nondagi Kingdom.
Yes.
Did I get that right, Fawn?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Haley, and thank you, Fawn, for your patience. This is Native Roots Radio, and heck, we'll be right back after this short break, Haley.
Stay with us.
Ho-wa.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us, thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of Native Roots Radio is presented in partnership with Minnesota Public Radio and Little Moments Count. Nearly 80% of brain growth happens in the first 1,000 days, and small moments of interaction, like talking, playing, reading, and singing, help create the pathways that build a child's brain during this early stage of life. For more information, you can visit littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, I want to welcome back Fawn Young Bear Tibbetts, and we're having a great discussion. But before we get caught up into more discussion about, you know, how great this food program is, let's talk about the webinar and get that going, and then we'll talk about it too again and remind everyone at the end of the segment.
Yes, yeah, so you know, a lot of our Native organizations have kind of strategic plans. They're more like a wish list, right? And so we really took the last year and dove deep with some funder partners with the Indigenous Early Learning Collaborative, which is hosted out of Boston Children's. And it's a cohort of four of us. We've been doing some inquiry and they gave us money to do a community research project and then kind of gave us some guidance. And so in 2023, we really started looking at a full strategic plan so that we could get our own emergent campus here in Minneapolis. And we're doing a launch of that plan on the 28th. Boston Children's is hosting it. So there's a link available to you guys if you'd like to register for that. And we're going to take a real deep dive in that webinar into, you know, the last 30 years, because we're coming up on our 30-year anniversary. This wow. organization was founded in 1996 by a group of grandmothers. Wow. And so, and then looking 30 years into the future, right? So mm-hmm. It's really a 10-year strategic plan, but we talk a lot more about the future. And it really started about a space, like a book, right, a four walls. And when we were doing our inquiry, what we realized is there's multiple layers of space, right? There's physical space, there's the metaphysical spaces. And right. instead of saying, like, what's our job? We said, what does a whole healthy Indigenous child look like? And mm-hmm. what does a healthy led Indigenous organization look like? And how does that run? And then what's our responsibility to that child, to that family, and to the community? And it really kind of changed the scope of what we were doing. It made us look internally too at, yeah. you know, a lot of our policies and procedures. And so we're going to go through that. It's going to be a beautiful document. We had King Dimitri and Pendleton come and take photos. And so his photos will be highlighted in the plan. And in the actual physical one when it gets printed out. So yeah, that's on March 28th. Anyone can join. Brazelton's network will host 50,000 people on the stream at one time.
Whoa.
Anybody can register. And that's the link to register for the event. And it starts at 2 p.m. our time. And it is going out across it's going out nationally. So we'll have some people from Hawaii that are partners that will be on there and potentially, you know, hopefully funders. And I think it's going to be a really good example of what our community can do if we are given the right tools. You know, this is an extremely comprehensive strategic plan. I'm really excited about it.
Wow. That's awesome, Fawn. And, you know, we're talking about a lot of things here, but I know, like, food's really important, too. And we talked a little bit about this at the end of last segment about just how important it is and empowering it is to have the children and families understand the traditional values and the foods that we really should be eating, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of a multitude of things that have to happen, right? So I was just at the Lutheran Church, the Masonic Lutheran Church sold their building, which OEA has been nominated to receive some of the funding from that sale.
Wow.
Asked us to come present, and you know, you can teach a man to fish or you can give a man a fish, right? That's the biblical. And
right.
So I had to tell them, well, you have to give them a fish so they get used to eating fish. And then you have to teach them how to fish, but you also have to teach them to clean the fish and to cook the fish, right? And so that idea of giving people foods, you know, it's great, but does that really change behavior? And so we had originally done a lot of, I think we have the most comprehensive food map of South Minneapolis that's ever been created. And so we didn't just look at stores. We looked at if they're accessible if you don't have a car. We looked at price gouging. And so like the Cub Foods here in South Minneapolis on Lake Street last year at Thanksgiving was charging $2.80 a pound per turkeys. But if you went to the same Cub grocery store in the suburbs, it was $1.89 a pound.
Whoa.
And so you can find that on our food map, but we also listed all of the food shelves and community gardens. And so it's a very comprehensive list. You can go click on the food lab. It'll tell you what items you can purchase there. And the little corner stores, the bodegas, there's one on 35th and Chicago called Tony's Market. If you ever want to buy bulk hominy, that's the place to go.
Wow.
And so he sells this really beautiful Peruvian bulk hominy for $2.98 a pound.
Wow.
He really gears towards his Hispanic clients, right? So that's what I mean. I think it's the most intensive food map that's ever been done. But, you know, when we were doing these surveys and we were asking communities about and asking the community about what do they know, what would they like to know, what we found out is that food is really, our traditional foods are so expensive, our families can't afford them here in Minneapolis anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I hate to say this, but when traditional foods become trendy, it makes it unaffordable to our community. So, for example, right now, wild rice is about $20 a pound in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
If you're a family struggling to pay your tuition and, you know, raise children and all of these things that we all have to do, that's really expensive. And so part of it is educating families. Part of it is introducing traditional foods to young kids' palates, right? Because they have to also want to eat the food.
Right.
But it's also giving the opportunities for families. So one of the things I always talk about is that true food sovereignty only happens when you can harvest, hunt, gather, grow, and cook your own food outside of an economic system.
Wow.
And so we're going to be doing a bison butchering class that will be open to the community. We have some camp gear that families can check out, and we do harvesting trips to Pipestone. We're going to be doing the birch bark work with AIM has a grant. We're going up to Leech Lake this summer to do kind of the language portion of that. And we're also providing food. So, you know, we got a freeze dryer now.
Wow.
And we produce all kinds of really amazing food that travels really well. And so we're doing a lot with that, but really, right now our big focus is getting foods accessible to the families. And so Takabe started doing like a HelloFresh native meal kit. And I was like, awesome. So we started doing that. We had originally given all our families Dream of Wild House Indigenous food shares. And I was getting messages like, you know, what do I do with turnips? How do I cook the greens? We don't know what to do with it. I don't want it because it's just going to go to waste. Mm. And so we just staggered back, right? So our first box was a bison taco box. Everything was made and measured out. All they had to do was brown the bison. We did a bison shepherd's pie as well. Obviously, that one had to stick it in the oven. We did like a soup box, right? So then they have to cut the vegetables. So as we do more boxes, the work that the families are going to have to do will increase. And then we have QR codes and a chef, and you can watch the chef cook the meal as you're making it at home. And then we'll be doing cooking classes. So it's like adults, teenagers, kids, the breakfast and lunch and snack, but really kind of, you know, trying to get families to be able to implement it at home.
Fawn, this is amazing. And Haley, I see you popped up the website for more information. We have to get Fawn on again. This is a full show of information. I haven't even got past two questions that I have here. This is amazing, seriously. And could somebody for our listening audience give a quick shout out to the website?
Yeah. That is Weech. Well, I'll spell it, I guess. WICOIENANDAGIKENDAN.org.
Yeah. Well, for more information, check that out. And Fawn, we got to get you on again soon. This is amazing work that you're doing and the legacy that you're part of with this organization and what you're doing for the community. I am just like totally blown away here. I'm in awe of you.
Well, yeah, maybe we could have you come out and do some stuff in the field and record some of the events that we're going to be doing in the garden. I think it would be really cool to be able to show folks. And, you know, we can also share our upcoming calendar with you guys.
That would be so awesome.
Yes, please do.
Yeah, wow, a big peenie Fawn. We got to get you on again soon, and please reach out to us again for that calendar, right, Haley?
Oh, absolutely. We'll be talking about that.
Right on. Well, hey, great having you on. Let's talk soon. This is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
See the light when the Blind Boys of Alabama take the stage at the Dakota Thursday, April 3rd. From their Recording Academy Lifetime Achievement Award to their 6 Grammys to their induction into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, the Blind Boys of Alabama are living legends in every sense of the word. Touring with their latest release, Echoes of the South, every song reverberates with their signature blend of gospel, soul, country, and rock into the transcendent songs of faith and hope. Tickets for the Blind Boys of Alabama can be found at the Dakota website. Visit DakotaCooks.com for more details.
Fellas, I said that's it.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, we're here with our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo, CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And how are you doing, Ruth?
Good. Yeah, doing good. good to see you, Dosha, and hello, and Mods and Gidods. It was a state tournament today, so Moorhead boys basketball team lost by 9 points. They were the 7th seed and played Wayzata, who is the 2nd seed, but very good game. Halftime, we were down by 1, and we ended up losing by 9, so...
Oh, and I, the school that I taught at, Ruth Anna, for 27 years, they were in the tournament this morning for the first time ever, and they had lost. They didn't move on, but that was a really big accomplishment for, especially for our kids in the inner city of the east side of St. Paul. So big shout out to all the people playing.
Yes, for sure. You know, it's just a big commitment, and really give so much love and appreciation to the players themselves, their families, the coaches, you know, everybody that supports them, because they put so much time and energy and sacrifice. Really, you know, one of the moms was kind of, we were visiting afterwards, and our boys are good buddies and kind of grew up together, and she, you know, it was a reminder of like how much they sacrifice as young people, you know. You know, how many times they cut their holidays short or summer breaks short, you know, with family time and away on the road, very rigorous schedules for young people. And so it was pretty cool to see them experience the state tournament and do quite well. Many people thought that our team was going to get blown out, because Wayzata has a really strong tradition of winning the state tournament at the 4A level. But we hung in there with them. You know, we were even up by as much as I think 6 or 8 points throughout the first half. And yeah, we were giving them a good run, you know, a good go. You know, so we had it, but kind of ran out of gas and ran out of time.
Well, I believe it's so important that you're there and that people support that. And these young learners, these are disciplines that they can take with them with the rest of their life. You know, in an accomplishment like that, I just think things like sports and drumline and art and theater are disciplines that students can take with the rest of their lives, that they can do anything.
Yes, for sure. A lot of the time, commitment, sacrifice, win or lose, you know, it builds character, and it carries over from the classroom to the basketball court or the baseball field. So much can be taught and learned in those different arenas. And yeah, it's something good to do. It's a good healthy outlet, and we have a lot of strong traditions of strong athletes throughout Indian country as well. So it's good to have our young people engage in these healthy activities, for sure.
Yeah, well, I was telling our audience and Wendy and Haley that I'm going to Assembly right after the show, because Billy Mills is in town, and I've never met him before, so I want to get a book signed and, of course, a selfie, because being the former selfie king, Wendy.
That's right. Get a selfie.
tell him I said hi. Tell him my family says hi. I remember our kids met him when we were at NDSU, and he asked our son back then. Our son was probably like second grade, third grade. Billy Mills asked him, what do you want to be when you grow up? And our son said, NBA player. And then Billy Mills was like, no, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he's like, NBA player. He's like, well, you got to have options, you know?
Right. That's funny. Well, you know, and what a unbelievable native icon that is still with us. And I'm going to run out there and get his book. He's got a new children's book out, and it's great timing, Wendy. We have our grandchildren over here every Wednesday and Thursday.
Yeah. Excellent. I'll read it to them tomorrow.
Yeah. 7 months. I'm sure they'll remember.
They listen though. When you read it, they look at you and they listen. So yeah,
they look at me like I'm crazy, but that's a whole nother radio show. So what do we got going? Ruth Anna Buffalo at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center this week, and how, again, I know you're tough with time here, and I want to get the how people can support you and know about your organization.
Yeah, so we had the weekly Tuesday Resource Connect today from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the gym or the community room. Where, you know, different service providers, agencies come on site and get connected to, it's just a quicker one-stop shop way to get connected with the unsheltered relatives and vice versa. We offer breakfast and lunch, and we are potentially going to be open tomorrow for the Emergency Warming Center due to the inclement weather that's on the way, potentially opening up tomorrow, maybe around noon, and then close the following day at noon. So we'll be up open for 24 hours. And then on Thursday, we have, it's our, I believe we've hosted the medicine bag making sessions with Delilah, the tongue twister.
Delilah,
I believe.
You've been on the show too long. Now you're talking like me now. You've been on our show too long, Delilah.
Yeah, Delilah Robb. I believe she's from North Dakota, Turtle Mountains. She's going to be leading a session on medicine bag making tomorrow from, I believe it's, 1. It starts at 1 o'clock. I was just sharing that information with friends, but I believe this session is full because we try to ask, you know, people to sign up ahead of time. But it's tomorrow from 1 to 3:30, or excuse me, Thursday, 1 o'clock to 3:30, medicine bag making. And then, yeah, we have regular programming with support groups. So yeah, lots to stay on top of. Please check out our socials and our website, miwrc.org. Feel free to donate if you can. You know, our windows in the community room got vandalized and destroyed, bashed out, as did our front door, main entrance on the north side. So we are, you know, gladly, happily accepting donations to help defray the costs of those, you know, extra expenses that we just didn't need at this time. So,
yeah. Well, plus we want to get a basketball hoop in there too. Ho-wah. No, just kidding.
That would be amazing. Yeah, that'd be amazing. For sure.
Cool. Well, I know it looks like you're got things going on right now. You're in the car. So I wonder if you want just to give us a quick message before we let you go and do your thing. It looks like it's beautiful out there too. It's sunny.
Yeah, beautiful weather, 50 degrees. Just, you know, thankful for all of the continued support for MIWRC. A lot of good things are happening, and just want to really uplift, you know, the good work that's been happening in the community for decades and generations. So, yeah, continue to be good to one another. And if you can, donate at miwrc.org. Mods and Gadads, thank you.
Excellent. Good to see you, Ruth. We'll see you next week. Right on. Wow, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Wendy, always coming in with some good information, and what a great organization that's been around for 70 years, and sad to hear about the windows.
It really is. Windows are really expensive. Like, you know, you just say, okay, it's a couple of windows, it's a door, whatever. It's like thousands of dollars for each window. Mm-hmm. It's really a lot. So, yes, if you can donate whatever amount of money, it adds up, and it's a good organization, so help out.
Definitely. Well, we can talk a little bit. We got a couple minutes before we have our next guest on, and maybe talk about a little bit more about your day today, Wendy. I just want to just really what I heard was State Senator Kunesh, after you gave her that plaque with the you know, recognition of all the work she's done for our relatives.
Animals, yeah.
Yeah, our relatives with tails and hooves and
wings,
gills
and whatever. All of them.
Yeah.
We love them all.
But she was surprised that you had that for her and read off that really beautiful thing that I got a chance to hear that what you wrote in regards to State Senator Mary Kunesh.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to do that. And you know what? It's really a great vibe. If you ever have time to go down to the Minnesota State Capitol, if you go down there and you care about a bill that's being presented, you could, you know, sit in. You don't have to say anything. You could just be there. Like Robert, last year, he debated and testified for our Minnesota State Wolves. And there's an audience in the back. You could just go and listen in. You don't have to say anything. And you could just learn about the different bills that are being processed and brought forward to the House and the Senate and listen to them. And you could find one that you really feel passionate about. And then you could do more work if you'd like. And you could go and meet with your representatives and tell them that, you know, it's important for them to support the bill. Because, you know, Senator Scott Dibble, he also got up at Humane Lobby Day today and got up. And the first thing he said is, this is your house. Mm-hmm. This is your house. We welcome you here. Everybody is welcome. And we work for you. You are our constituents. And when you care about something and you let us know, that's good, because a lot of times we don't know what exactly is that you care about. So we want you to let us know. So I was really happy. You know, again, today we talked about saving our Minnesota wolves and to stop a mandatory wolf hunt. Senator Eichhorn, who got caught soliciting a minor female prostitute, allegedly, I want to say.
You're right.
You know, he is wants a bill and authored a bill for a mandatory wolf hunt. And he also, I wanted to find the wordage. Oh, yes, the Trump derangement syndrome bill. He put forth that also. And, you know, I hate to say that he got caught doing this, but you know what? You got. It's really, it's despicable, really. Mm-hmm. A 40-year-old man who's married, who has four children of himself, of, you know, and he's from Grand Rapids, and he came down here to Bloomington, and the Bloomington police said, without any shadow of a doubt, you come down to Bloomington, and you're soliciting a minor for sex, you're going to get caught. Yeah. And they're not fooling around. He's in big trouble. He's going to be, he's been already asked to step down.
Right on. Hey, we have Freda Alvarez coming on next. We're going to talk as quickly as we can about what's happening at MnDOT and opportunities and background. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, before I introduce our groovy Ho-Chunk guest, Haley, we have been doing something here for the last couple days and want to make this a tradition. We have a Ho-Chunk word of the day, and take it away, Haley.
Okay. So, yeah, we started out with wolf earlier in the week, and that was shunk-junk. And then we talked about dog yesterday, and that was shunk. And today we're going to be talking about the buffalo. And we know, well, I guess from movies and stuff, I know the Dakota word for buffalo is tatonka. And in Ho-Chunk, we say chefchi. Chefchi.
All right. Wow. We are learning here. And we have our friend Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. And I just got to say, we are all a Ho-Chunk here and a happy Founders Day. Ho-wah.
Yes. Happy Ho-Chunk Founders Day, everybody. It's a very exciting day.
It definitely is. So on March 19th, 1963, our tribe was officially recognized by the federal government as a sovereign nation, the Wisconsin Winnebago Nation. Ho-wah. Again.
Hey. Yeah, and we were referred to as such until, I believe, 1994 when we amended our constitution and reverted our name back to what we've always called ourselves. Ho-Chunk. Right.
Wachungala, yes, definitely. Yeah. And we like that because I always like telling people, and if you can see my hand, I know people on the radio can't, but I always say the people, the sacred voice, when I tell them people want to know what tribe I'm in.
Yes, and I believe that we are the only nation in North America named after our language.
Yeah, that's a really good tidbit there for sure. Hey, before we get into some questions here and some grilling I have with you, I saw that you were at the State of the Tribes yesterday, and I'm sorry I missed it, but that is a beautiful, beautiful recognition of the 11 tribes in Wisconsin. And we quoted some of the speech from the chairman, and Haley had it. It was pretty powerful, and I got to listen to it live here in Minnesota, and just proud to be Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, I have worked, before I started with Emerge, I worked maybe 6 or 7 years in the Capitol, and State of the Tribes Day is always my favorite day. I love hearing our songs echoing through the rotunda. It feels so powerful, and it is a recognition and expression of tribal sovereignty and the sovereign nature of the 11 federally recognized tribes in Wisconsin. The State of the Tribes is delivered once a year, generally around this time of year, by one of the tribal chairs or presidents of the 11 federally recognized tribes that are in Wisconsin. So this year it was the chairman from St. Croix, and his speech was great. Mm-hmm. I liked that he put in a lot of, you know, numbers and data, but then he also shared personal stories. You know, he spoke about his daughter, right, and how she lost her mother to opioids.
Fentanyl. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think he hit a lot of really great notes. And something that was really exciting for me, sorry for checking my throat there, was that I had to sit in an overflow room. And this, I believe, is the first time that we had an official overflow room where people could go watch on one of the screens. They had it live streamed. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And so everybody was able to watch together in arguably more comfortable seats than the assembly chamber. Those chairs are not comfortable. They're very tiny.
No. Right. I know. And then I feel like I'm going to fall off, and you know, I'm kind of tall. When I stand up, I'm gonna fall down the thing. Yeah, they were made a long time ago. Those were small seats. But yeah, excitement. Also liked what he had to say about descendants and what's happening with us, and I know our tribes looked in and or have been looking into this too, because it's a real thing, and we're the only people that are basically, you know, looked at like dogs, where we have a percentage of a breed. And so we want to get away from that. Pardon me?
A pedigree.
Right, exactly. Yes. So that was exciting, too. I really appreciate what he had to say there. Hey, I want to jump back here in Minnesota, and we've been talking about this since yesterday, that we had a state senator who was one of the four people that thought that it would be fun to come up with a law that I've seen, you know, go nationally now about have a mentally ill if you're against Trump. And then less than 12 hours later, he was in jail.
That news did cross the big river, and I did hear about this, and in jail for a solicitation of a minor, right?
Yep, exactly. Allegedly, we got to say allegedly, that real quick. But
yeah.
Throw that word in there, but my goodness, the Republicans, it seems to be no gay, no trans, no BIPOC people that are running into this all the time. It just seems like the Republicans talk out of both sides of their mouth.
And are putting forth policies that affect almost no one except for the people, you know, the small number of people that actually need the care, and, you know, the right to be able to play sports, things like that. You know, it's a small number of people. This is not something that affects the majority of Americans. And think about the amount of time they're talking about this. And yeah, we haven't heard of drag queens en masse getting charged with solicitation. You know, they're doing book, you know, library clubs and everything for kids and read-alongs. You know, they're helping with literacy.
Yeah, I just wanted to, figured you heard about it. I just wanted to bring it up that it's still on our radar here. He has been charged today, and you know, he's 40 years old. He's from the deep north, what we like to call the deep north here in the Twin Cities, where it gets a little red up there, and he has four kids and he's married. And I think it's interesting that the Republicans are calling for him to resign and the Democrats are kind of saying, well, let's play this out. You know, I mean, aren't you innocent until proven guilty? And it's just like, that's weird. It's switched all of a sudden. But I get the points of both, I guess.
And isn't the Minnesota legislature like very, very, very close, as in who
tied.
Is in control?
It's tied now, 67-67. But the Senate, I think Haley is a one vote Democrat advantage.
I think so. Yeah, that's what Mary was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yikes. Yeah, well, I mean, that's gonna affect the number for a bit.
It may go to two soon.
Yikes.
I know. So how are you doing and how is your organization doing now with what's been going on federally? I mean, are we getting people fired up to go, geez, I really need to get some training from Emerge Wisconsin and things like that? How is that going?
Yeah, we've had people reaching out, talking about, you know, being the, especially legislative bodies like city councils and county boards, and state legislatures. Those are supposed to be our firewalls, you know, to protect what's happening and to protect what you can at your level. And so people are realizing the importance of these roles, and we have an election in which, you know, the Madison Common Council, the entire body, is up for re-election. Wow. So we have that April 1st. But we also have people that are thinking about maybe, you know, in the future they might run for their city council or their school board. We have a lot of people that are kind of just dipping a toe in at the moment, and trying to get their mind wrapped around the idea of themselves as a candidate. Because if you've never thought of it, it's a big change to think of yourself. And we are getting ready. We are going to be starting with our new cohort, the class of 2025, the first weekend in April. So I'm really excited to train a new cohort of new leaders that are going to be representing in their communities as they, you know, their leadership expands, as they run for office, as they become parts of other organizations that do work in our communities.
I always like to bring this up, but the percentage that got elected from Emerge Wisconsin, let our listeners know, and I'm ready with the applause button.
It was 92%, 92% of our alums that ran in November won their election. So we are sitting pretty good. That's great candidates and great training that you can get at Emerge Wisconsin.
There you go. That's what I wanted to hear. Also, before I forget too, with the election coming up with the Supreme Court, how important that is. And I heard something like in Wisconsin, over $30 million is being spent on this election, and a lot of it's coming from Elon.
Yes. The head broligarch in charge is pouring money. It's not enough to do it in DC. He's trying to do it here. He's trying to start with states, and Wisconsin is his first target. And, you know, we need to stand up and support Judge Susan Crawford for Wisconsin Supreme Court. She is a progressive candidate and is a judge here in Madison. She is thoughtful and, you know, I think is someone that we want to be on the bench.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Emerge Wisconsin, and we got another segment with Arvina. Oh, no, we don't?
No, she has to leave early today.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Good thing we're doing this. No, that's no problem. It's great seeing you. Thank you so much for stopping in. It's always great to see you. And I guess up next, Haley and Robert staring at each other. No. Oh, thanks, Arvina.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio.
Oh, oh, oh.
That's right. The Flaming O's are back. Thursday, March 27th, the Turf Club will get rocked to the ground.
OMG.
The Twin Cities' own Flaming O's have been delivering their chunky, punky, fan-fave new wave since 1977. And unlike some bands, they just keep getting better with age.
Oh, snap.
Thursday, March 27th at the Turf Club. The Flaming O's with special guest John Berg. Tickets available at first-avenue.com.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Oh, geez, my voice is a little deeper. I usually get a little higher on that howl.
The elder wolf today.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, before we talk a little bit about what's going on nationally, I want to just swing back, Haley, and talk a little bit about the goop we have in our notes, GOP, but I like to say goop. He was against, he's for the wolf hunt too. And I wanted to mention that too, that oh, yeah. He in the beginning wasn't a friend of ours, but it's really, you know, I just, you get what, it's karma. It's quick karma.
That was quick karma. Yeah, I think you're talking about the Minnesota State Senator, Justin Eichhorn, that was just arrested. And yeah, I think he was federally charged today. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
that's something
he was.
I saw.
Yeah, yep. He was.
Yeah, so Republican, Minnesota Senator Republican Justin Eichhorn out of Grand Rapids, Minnesota, mm-hmm. was the one who was arrested for, kind of soliciting a minor, a 16-year-old. It was an undercover cop mm-hmm. detective that was, in Bloomington, pretending to be a 16-year-old. And what did he say? I don't want to get this wrong either, but an article came out this morning saying just like a line in which he said online to this person. And it was like, what does a man have to do to get with the hottest girl online or something is a message that went through from him, which is just so disturbing, right? This is coming from the Republican family value, party, and it's the total opposite most of the time.
Yeah, most of the time, allegedly. You've got to throw that in. But
yeah, the wolf hunt.
Yeah. Like
we talk about our wolves, and this is the same guy who's been on our radar, you know, doing not good things, and here it is, doing even worse things. So I don't know. I want to mention, too, the other Minnesota state senators that were joining Justin Eichhorn with the
deranged.
The Trump derangement syndrome bill. There were five of them that introduced this, all coming from the Republican senators. I want to, let's say their names. Steve Drazkowski from Mazeppa. Of course, Justin Eichhorn, Grand Rapids. We have Glenn Grunhagen from Glencoe. Eric Lucero from St. Michael. And Nathan Wessenberg, Little Falls.
So apparently they all think that if you don't agree with Donald Trump or his policies or the orders that are being carried out, you have a mental illness, apparently.
So do you remember last year when I was at the state capitol and I was talking about how sacred wolves are to the Senate hearing? And Senator Nathan Weisberg somehow twisted it into an abortion issue. I don't know.
I remember that.
And he's still moving and grooving there with his warped reality.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, inhumanely killing wolves. I mean, do you know what killing one member of a wolf pack does? It totally disintegrates the whole dynamic of the wolf pack. And that messes up the entire ecosystem in which they're living and taking care of in the area.
I agree 100%. And we talk about that all the time for the last 9 years here. Haley, I want to jump into what's happening with this DEI stuff with the service.
Yeah.
And I know, like Ira Hayes, who was a person and a famous sculptor in Washington and also a famous picture and movie, raising the flag on Iwo Jima. And he was removed from their website. He just totally disappeared. He was not a person now, and he was not a Marine. And we see our Red Cloud from Ho-Chunk, who's a Bronze Star member and unbelievable, saved lives of so many people. He's been removed, too.
Yeah, yeah, that was something that I saw that was really disappointing. This was something, too, that was posted, I think, today. I saw this today. But the Navajo Code Talkers was something that was completely scrubbed, too, from the websites. So the Navajo Code Talkers are heroes. They helped our country defeat Nazis and fought for our freedom. But apparently this stuff will be restored. I don't know how quickly. I don't know who came to that decision to scrub it and then restore it. But yeah, our code talkers and our native veterans and those serving in armed forces are, what is it, like 5 times higher than any other nationality?
Yes, exactly. Haley, and I don't know if you know this, but we have code talkers out of Ho-Chunk, and there's highways being named after them as soon as in the next month. And it's just so disturbing that only it's getting whitewashed. And I mean, that's just the way to put it. Yeah. That's some other disturbing news, too, that I think we talked about a little bit. But a friend of ours from Standing Rock that I used to get news from all the time, Candy White, put something up, a live video that there's a $700 million fine now that Greenpeace, I believe, from the oil companies now that they won in court. And so they can spill all their oil and all these things, and we can't protest it. And now this court with jurors has from North Dakota, because, we, you know, we went through the Standing Rock thing, and that's how this show started, has found them guilty.
Yeah, that was an article I saw today, too. It came out of the New York Times, and the title was Jury Orders Greenpeace to Pay Pipeline Company More Than $660 million for their presence in those protests, really.
Yeah, and I mean, I was protesting. I don't remember Greenpeace being the leaders and all that. I mean, it just blows my mind how quickly everything has changed and how, you know, what making great America great means is like disavowing women's rights, BIPOC rights, and just making it a white male 1776 kind of landowner, slave owner kind of a reality again. And we're not going to stand for it. No. I know there's another April 5th. There is another, what is it, 5150 or 5051 group is doing another protest across the nation at all the capitals. So I'll be putting on my protest jacket and doing that again.
Yeah, April 5th, save the date. Someone else reached out and asked if we were going to talk about that. So we'll gather more information about that protest. I'm sure it'll be at the Capitol here in Minnesota. But yeah, save the date, April 5th. Also, in honor of Ho-Chunk Founders Day,
yes.
I want to just wrap up with the Ho-Chunk Founders Day powwow is next weekend, Saturday, March 29th at the La Crosse Center in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Grand entries, I think, are at noon and then 7 p.m. that Saturday.
I'm going to try and make it down there in my war pony with my my license plates that are MMIW that say land back on. Hoo-wah.
Hey, I'll meet you down there with mine.
Well, you know, knowing how we both drive, maybe we should race. Hoo-wah.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if people need to know that.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting.